Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9. I'm going to give you a prophetic word today. I believe it's so pertinent to where we are and what's about to happen with the body of Christ in the earth, what's about to happen to this house. Share with some. Go to chapter 1 real quick. Proverbs chapter 1. The verse 1 said, the Proverbs of Solomon. It's pretty deep, right? Go to chapter 10. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Wow. Proverbs 1, Solomon began to speak, but by verse 20, wisdom took over. And she speaks almost in every chapter, all the way through chapter 9. And then he picks back up in chapter 10 and starts speaking the wisdom that wisdom gave him. But those first chapters, wisdom took over in many ways. It spoke first person. And there is such a revelation in those first 9 chapters. The greatest part of it is chapter 8 and 9. And I want you to back up to chapter 9 for a minute. Because what Solomon found, he found at this table. Before he did anything that he did, and he was without doubt the wisest man on the earth, and he did more than most of us do in the new covenant, and he did more in the old than most anybody has done in the new. And what he did and how he did that is found in this chapter right here, chapter 9. She promises it all in chapter 8. She delivers it in chapter 9. The verse I want you to see in verse 1, it says, wisdom has builded her house. That's the house of David. That's the house of Solomon. She built that. He attributed it to her, or his relationship with wisdom. He called it to her. She built that house. Amen. I want to take a look at his house a little bit today. It says she hewn out her 7 pillars. We talk a lot about 7 pillars of wisdom. We have actually a confessional book on the 7 pillars of wisdom. You have the 7 spirits of God. Amen. 7 inheritances. 7 pronged candlesticks, 7 eyes, 7 horns. I mean, God is into 7. Amen. It's his perfection. She built a perfect house. It's basically the 7 pillars represent perfection. 7 always represents perfection, always. And she built a house of perfection. Amen. Before his fall, there was nothing like it on this planet anywhere. I want you to go to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, I was listening to Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is one of the premier apostolic voices of this nation, no doubt about it. His fruit speaks for itself. And I'm just amazed. I just turned the TV on. It was just random. And I was just running through, and the Lord said, stop, I want you to hear this. And so he started speaking, and he started talking about this particular chapter, and he started, I want to attribute some of this to him because he said some very profound things. And he said, one of the things you want to notice about Isaiah 60 is a lot of times we want to push chapters like this out into the millennial reign. And there's no doubt about it. The Lord is going to do what Solomon did in the millennial reign and 1,000 times more. But there's also going to be an expression of this house before his church is lifted out of here. Amen. Before we go, God is going to express himself, and he promises the restoration of David's house, and we'll get into that. But this chapter is designed as a compass to what God wants to do in cities and in whole nations, and it's a compass. It's a prophetic word, of course, in the millennial reign, but it's also a prophetic word for us and what we can attain. God's always setting the bar very high. Amen. He actually sets the bar higher than any one of us can attain to. He does that so we can move into him and obtain it by him, through him. Amen? So, Isaiah 6 says, arise, shine, thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It's all about Jerusalem and the glory, how God wants to take whole cities. Amen? And the glory of the Lord's risen. And behold, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory will be seen. Not every generation gets to see the manifest glory of God. In Solomon's day, they saw the glory in the temple. It was visible. Kings and queens would come to hear his wisdom and the glory of God and the ascent by which he had ascended to God and his cupbearer and his tables. It was divine perfection. And the glory would manifest in the temple where the priest couldn't even stand, and it would seen, Shekinah glory be seen. He's speaking, this is going to be seen again. Amen. The glory of God's going to be seen. And the Gentiles will come to thy light and say kings to the brightness. It takes a lot. We don't live in a kingdom like we don't live under a king. We have a president, but when you live under a king, where the king is king, everything is about that king. From the time he wakes up, times he goes to bed, everything is procuring his favor or serving his interest. He is the man. Amen. When he is the man, it's hard to get a king to get up and go somewhere else when he's always the man, and especially go somewhere and submit himself to learn and hear from somebody else. You have to have something for kings to show up. True kings to show up, you have to have something. Amen. Solomon had that, which we'll see in a minute. Notice in verse 5, I'm going to actually read this verse 5. I'm going to read it out of the New Living. It says, your eyes will shine with joy. Your heart will be thrilled with thrill. For merchants from around the world will come unto you, bringing unto you the wealth of many lands. When God sets up his dominion in the earth over a city, he's going to bring everything there. The kingdom of God is going to manifest in every way possible. From the glory of God to the wisdom of God to commerce to the healing of the masses, God is going to set up his kingdom in the earth. Amen. You see this in the ministry of the Lord. You didn't just see the Lord preaching. You see him demonstrating. You see him demonstrating in the financial realm. He's demonstrating in the realm of healing. He was constantly demonstrating. And he attributed that to his Father. He said, I myself can do nothing. I'm not doing this. My Father's doing this. That you may know and believe I'm come from him. That you can hear what I have to say. He's the one demonstrating these things. When the kingdom of God is in the earth, it's going to demonstrate. In fact, he wanted whole cities to turn. He rebuked Capernaum, which received most of the demonstrations of God. He rebuked them. He said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen what you had seen, they would have repented. Do you understand that statement? How deep Sodom and Gomorrah was steeped in sin. He said, that whole city would have repented of what you saw. You have been exalted to heavens in favor, but you're going to be cast down to hell. He's not saying I'm going to send you all to hell. You're going to lose your prominence. Because God is into cities, and he's into transforming whole cities. We think in terms of church. Amen. God thinks in terms of kingdom and cities. Amen. And that's what God's going to shift in this last hour. Notice again what he says here. In verse 19, he said, the sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither the brightness of the moon will give light, but the Lord shall be thy everlasting light. Listen, there is a glory that we're going to walk in the expression of God in these last hours. God is going to be the light we walk in. We think because the sun's out, we can see. But a lot of times just because the sun's out, we can't see. But God is going to give us light in this hour. A kind of light that's going to cause us to see far beyond where we are, the time we live in. There is nothing that came across the Lord he didn't see in advance. He constantly was in a realm of light. And everybody around him, he knew everything about everyone in there. Always. You know, it was only a couple of weeks before he sent his 12 apostles out and gave them his anointing to go out into the cities. He sent them out two by two. You know, one of the persons who was in there was Judas. That was just weeks before the cross. He knew what was in his heart. It didn't intimidate. He didn't intimidate him. Amen? It was just weeks before the cross, but yet he put his anointing and demonstrated. There's a light, but he knew the whole time what was going on. God's going to give us some light to walk by. Say light. Notice what he says here in verse 22. A little one, say a little one, shall become a thousand. And a strong one, a nation. During this time, I'm going to hasten this. During this time, I'm going to make a strong one, a nation. Listen, the capacity of the sons and daughters of God in this last hour are going to be so greatly expanded by the glory of God and the wisdom of God and the light of God, because God's going to build his house again. I'm not talking about building the church. We've got to get out of church building mentality into kingdom. Into kingdom, say kingdom. And to build by the kingdom, we're going to have to get exposed to a little more than we've been exposed to. Because we're going to have different result. We're not going to get the same result unless we're exposed to greater things than we've ever been exposed to before. Amen? Now, I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 3. I want to show you before, because the Bible we saw here in Proverbs said, wisdom is building her house, shooting out her seven pillars of perfection. She's going to build a perfect house. She built Solomon's house. And all that he did. I want you to see his state of mind before we look at what he did and some of the things he did. I want you to see his state of being in his mind. He's pretty much in the same boat we're all in. He gets this house inherited to him by David. David pretty much prepares it all. David goes on the mountain God. He gets the plans, purposes. He gives them the money. I mean, he's got a full bank account. He has the plans. He has the whole thing. David assembles the worshipers, assembles the priesthood. He did everything he possibly could do except build it, because God wouldn't let him build it because he was a man of war. But he wanted to build it but couldn't build it. So Solomon was given all this. He says, it's all you, Solomon. Solomon is young. Boy, he's not the Solomon we know in Scripture. So many times when God calls us to do something, or God's giving us exceeding great and precious promises, we think we have to obtain to something. But reality, he didn't build it. I want you to see this. When the Lord came to him in a dream, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he had an eyewitness encounter. Solomon had two of them. One was before he did this, and one right after he dedicated the temple. He had two appearances by the Lord in incarnate place, but the Lord appeared to him, just like he did Moses in the burning bush. He appeared to him. So verse 3 in 1 Kings 3 said, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of David. So he's up in Gibeon. In verse 5 it says, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Could you imagine God in a dream? See, he's got you in a dream state. He's got you. When he appears to you in a dream, he has you. Because there's no flesh there. All flesh is put to rest, see? He says, ask. And Solomon has a discourse with God in his dream, in an eyewitness encounter. Every night, I put my hand on my heart and said, Lord, sanctify my dreams. Sanctify the dream center. And anytime you want to appear to me, here I am. Send me on to sleep, praise God. Verse 6, and Solomon said, you've shown favor to my servant David. Everything about Solomon was David. You have to understand, his whole identity was being David's son. He didn't have identity apart. He didn't know the Lord the way David did. He was just David's son. I mean, I have a son. I keep telling him all the time. I said, you're going to know God the way I know him. He goes, yeah, Dad. Yeah. I said, but you're going to know him. Because God said his word will not depart out of my seed. Out of the mouth of my seed. It's not going to depart out of your mouth. He's going to put his words in your mouth like he puts them in my mouth. Amen. Solomon hung on the coattails of his dad. He was living under his dad's anointing all the time. All of a sudden, all gets dumped in his lap, and God appears to him in a dream. He walked before you in righteous uprightness of heart. Now you've given him a son to sit on his throne. That's me. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made the servant king instead of David. But I'm a little child. Now watch. This is where Solomon was. I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to go come in. Thy servant is in the midst of a people which you've chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for multitude, but I don't know what I'm doing. And all of this has been given to me freely. That's called grace. But I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not my father. I can't do things the way my father did it. God said, that's a good thing. Because he was a man of war. You're not going to be a man of war. And so he asks God for wisdom and discernment how to judge his people. In this dream, he asks this, and this pleased God. In an eyewitness encounter, whatever you ask for is pretty much going to happen, so make sure you ask the right thing. Amen? He goes, and because you didn't ask for riches and long life, I'm giving that to you as well. A lot of them. Amen? So all of a sudden, Solomon goes from this person that doesn't know how to come in and go out. There's certain things we know how to do. We're gifted in. But there's a level of God that's coming that none of us know how to operate in yet. It's going to be far greater and grander than any one of us have known. And we're going to need something far greater than what we're operating in now. If you're happy in what you're operating in now, well, God bless you. But there are things in the heart of God's people in this hour right now that sees a future, a brightness, a glory coming over nations, that the church is going to take prominence again. It's not this little thing everybody talks about over here. God's going to raise the church in prominence with power, with honor and respect, and even the wisdom of the world's going to have to bow down and say, whoa! Because there is going to be a new level of wisdom given to God's people. Wisdom's going to build her house again. Because she's the one that built this one with Solomon. Because he introduced Solomon to wisdom. And wisdom is the one that built that house. Amen? Praise God. Go to chapter 4. You should read 1 Kings 3, 4, and 5, 6. Pretty good stuff. Go down to the verse 29. This is one chapter later. Here's a young sapling that does not know how to come in or go out before God. By the next chapter, his wisdom has excelled all the kings of the earth. There is a great key. And one of the things that Bill Johnson had said about this particular operation with Solomon, God spoke to him. He says, God spoke to me and he has been speaking this to me for years. Listen to this, what he said. The mystery of operating is found in Proverbs. He goes, I don't know where it's at yet. The Lord just told me it's there. He said he should just go to 7, 8, and 9. It's there. It's kind of interesting because I was given these revelations, Proverbs and wisdom, before I went into the ministry. Now she's culminated with the right hand of God, and it's icing on the cake now. Amen? Now watch this, verse 29. 1 Kings 4. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much and largeness of heart. Even as the sand of the seashore. That's some serious stuff right there. Amen? And Solomon's wisdom, the father's house wisdom. Any of you qualify as not knowing how to come in or go out? Raise your hand if you qualify for that. If you qualify for not knowing how to come in or go out. I qualify. Listen, if you get in touch with the true plan of God in your life, it's going to be far greater than you. If you're doing what you can only do, you're only reaching parts of the plans of God because the true plan of God's going to be above you. You're going to need him all the time, always. He designs it that way. He designs it to where you have to continually need him, cleave to him. Amen? It said exceedingly much, large as the heart, even the sand of the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of the children of the east country and the wisdom of Egypt. God acknowledged kings and their wisdom. He acknowledged them of the east, but he acknowledged that they had a wisdom. He said he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezraite, Heman, and all the rest of them. Heman, Darda. And his fame was in all nations about, but it said his wisdom excelled all of them. What happened in that eyewitness encounter, what God gave him, is found with this person of wisdom, with this relationship with wisdom. Listen, there is a wisdom that makes you wise with knowledge. But then there is a relationship with a person of wisdom. And this is what Solomon was given. the one that was with the Lord in creation. I was by his side when he created the heavens, the earth, and gave the sea its boundary. I was there. I was brought up with him. I'm the one that helped him do all that. That's what Solomon was introduced to. And God's caused his fame to rise to the top of the world, where the kings of the earth begin to take notice. Somebody's in the earth speaking in the stead of God. And there, all of the wisdom of the East countries could not compare to what he was operating in. All of their religions failed in comparison to what he was functioning and operating in. Amen. And verse 34 said, there came all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth. Say all. Did he say all? Or did he say some? That heard of his wisdom. All the peoples of the earth and all the kings of the earth. This is a very interesting concept, because we have this go thing with the gospel, go into all the world. Amen. And that is a staple of the gospel that we always are always going to have. The great commission is to go. But there's another commission, a commissioning of God's glory that brings the nations to you. Because God has set up his glory. And when he set up his glory of a whole city, he brought nations into that glory. We don't know what happened to each and every person, because we don't have their account, but we have a pretty good idea what was happening to them by Queen of Sheba's account. When she came in with a very great train of camels and spices, and she dropped into his lap the equivalency of a $60 million offering. It redefined how offerings were also received. Amen? It's kind of amazing. God took David, that shepherd boy, and brought him all the way up. And then gave this inheritance to Solomon. And God adds this wisdom to Solomon that was going to be nothing like the way his dad did it. His dad did it by war. Solomon did it by peace. See, there are ministries that are just engaged in warfare. That's all they ever do. And then there's ministries that are engaged in the glory. Amen? Is another ascendancy to the glory of God, where we move out from a warfare mentality to a mentality that dwells in the glory of God. Amen. And we see that when the Queen of Sheba came in, she was accustomed. I mean, you can't give that kind of wealth away and not have, it'd be pretty hard to impress somebody who can give $60 million away. Amen. It would take a lot. So she brings this offering, and she brings it to Solomon. And all of a sudden, she gets caught up in this one day in the life of Solomon, with the attendants and the cupbearers and the feastings and the way in which his government operated under a divine unity. And the ascent, and the way his priest operated in the glory, there was a respect there in the house. There was a respect for the glory of God that was happening. And they said the priest could not even stand because the glory was so powerful. And she witnessed this, and Solomon would ascend up into the glory of God, and he'd come out of the Shekinah glory, clothed in the glory, and he would speak out of that glory. And when he would speak out of that glory, kings were present. And it takes a lot for a king to uproot their domain, to come and listen to somebody else when they're the man all the time. And all of a sudden, they're there. She's there, and she said, the half was not even told to me. The wisdom and the prosperity and the ascent by which you go up into the presence of God and the cupbearers and this incredible harmony that's existing in your city and with the priesthood, with commerce, with the glory and the wisdom. I've never seen anything like this. And she lost it. She has, I have no more spirit left in me. That was a queen. That's what was happening to the kings of the earth. Nobody had ever seen anything like this. Go to chapter 5. We'll give you a little bit of idea what wisdom did We're not going to find this kind of operation in the sandbox of Christianity. This kind of operation is going to be out in the deep with God. It's going to be in the deep, call it the deep. It's an operation. You're going to have to go past your religion. You're going to have to go past religion itself. You're going to have to go into the glory of God and stand in the glory of God. And stand in the, Solomon wasn't just a man of wisdom. He was a man of the glory of God. He stood in the glory of God. He operated in the glory of God. He did business. Everything was done under the glory. He lived in the high places of God and he administrated from those places. That's not going to be just found trying to build a church. Amen. Solomon contracted with Hiram. He's going to build the house. And King Hiram, he was very skilled with the wood and the timber. And so he sends him a letter. And I want you to listen to this letter. In verse 3, 1 Kings chapter 5. Thou knowest how David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars that were about him on every side until the Lord had put them under the soles of his feet. But now, it was a new day. You have to be able to shift when God shifts. If you get stuck where you are, you get stuck in what your father taught you, what his daddy taught him, and you get stuck in a former generation that was alive at one time. If you get stuck there and you can't move to the next level, you'll miss the great things of God. You have to be able to move with him. You can't move with him being stuck in a system. And the only way you're going to get out of a system is to know God, to stand face to face with him, to stand in his presence, to hear what he's saying. If you're going to know what's new, you're going to have to stand in front of him. You can't get what's new. Let me say it like this. You can't get that which is to come dwelling in that which was. Amen. Jesus said, I am he that is, I am he that was, and I am he that is to come. And I can give you access to him that is, the Father that was, and the Father that is to come. And we see John was given access to the Father that was to come. 2,000 years. John didn't write the book of Revelation. John lived that. He got transported there. He saw it. It's the difference between God bringing you foreknowledge and showing you something. And God, and the next level is God actually taking you to the foreknowledge and you living and dwelling in it. He interacted with them. He spoke with them. He wept with him. They touched him. They spoke and talked with him. And pretty powerful. Then we see the other end of that spectrum. All of this is wisdom, by the way. Because we define wisdom by what we think wisdom is. Well, I'll read some Proverbs. I'll have some wisdom on how to live life. That is one level. The other level is being exposed to the operations of God that can move you out from where you are. How do you think Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament? He wasn't there. They didn't have computers. Do you think that he could capture on a tablet made of stone or parchment paper accounts of things that he could actually account for every single detail that took place in Genesis with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, thousands of years before he was even born? He went up in the glory of God. He said, show me your glory. He goes, Moses, no man can see my face and live, but I am going to show you my hinder parts. Because you represent the law, I'm not going to take you any further past the law, but I am going to show you what's behind. And he walked Moses through 2,500 years of history. And he showed him, he relived it in the presence of him that was. And he walked and he wrote and he wrote it and he wrote and he saw the event. How else could he know the emotions of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who would capture that? They didn't have tape recorders. You think a parchment of paper could have given you that kind of knowledge? God walked him through and he relived all of that in the mountain with God. He got exposed to God's divine intelligence. Amen. That is what God is going to expose us to this last hour, his divine intelligence. That's why the kings came to hear Solomon, because he was saying something nobody else was saying. He was doing something nobody else was doing. He was living in a realm of God nobody else was living in. When you have that, it's like an awesome restaurant. They'll come and find you. Listen, you have good enough food, you don't have to advertise. They will find you. That's what Solomon had. David's a man of war. Watch this. But now the Lord God has given me rest, verse 4, on every side, so that there is neither adversary or evil occurrence anywhere in my city. There's no adversary. There's no crisis. There's no evil occurrence anywhere. Imagine going from David's men being with David, fighting, warring all the time, to a place that they're standing as an army doing absolutely nothing. God had put down evil. He had put down every adversary. And wisdom ruled and reigned through Solomon in a time of peace where God put down every evil occurrence and all adversaries. That's what the glory does. That's when heaven comes into the earth. It puts down evil. Amen? It's not that evil doesn't exist. It just puts it down in the vicinity of the places you walk. Where you walk in a realm of glory, freedom, liberty, breakthrough. Amen? Glory to God forever. So, go back. Now to Proverbs chapter 8. You want to know how to read the book of Proverbs 7, 8, and 9? Is a very master key to this house of wisdom that she's building. You'll have to make it through Proverbs 7. That's not just the harlot that comes out to meet the young man. That is the harlot of the world system. She lies in every corner of your life. She is designed to lure your affections, your hunger, your thirst, and pull it into her system. She dwells and builds her house in the high places of the city, the Bible says. She is there to intercept you on your way to stand in wisdom's house. And she's very skilled at what she does. Then wisdom begins to speak in chapter 8. Said, I understand that whole system. Let me show you what I will give you. She begins to promise. And she begins to call kings out. Nobles, princes, and judges. She goes, I'm the one that makes the nobles, the princes, the kings, and the judges. I will give you wisdom. She says, I am. Say, I am counsel. I am understanding, she said. I am the Bana. I don't just give it. I am the Bana. Say that. I am the Bana. The Bana is the Hebrew word for understanding. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am the Bana. She doesn't say that very often. She goes, but I am. This is not just understanding where you understand things. This is the Bana, the Hebrew word, the Bana. Say Bana. She says, I am the Bana. By me, kings will reign and princes will decree justice. Princes will rule nobles. I love them that love me. Riches and honor with me. Long life and peace with me. Then she comes down to this bottom part here, which kind of locates where we are. Amen? Because she's the one that built Solomon's house. And she's extended an invitation to the same table. She's actually crieth. She calleth. She screams. She dwells in the highest places. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. If you don't know what you're watching for or waiting for, you'll never stand before her door. If you don't have a heart to want what's behind that door, you'll never watch there. If you're intercepted constantly by what is, you'll never look for what is to come. For what's behind that door is certainly what is to come. Because she is going to build this last day house. And she's going to build it again because God promised she would. God promised the restoration of the house of David. Watching and waiting. Wisdom's building her house and hewing out the seven pillars of perfection. She's building a perfect house. And the expression of that perfection is coming again upon the body of Christ. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. Amen. She said she's killed her beast. To get the right imagery of that is having the lamb on the skewer, on a big fire. She's built this, and we're in the food today. I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling the anointing of it. She has this banquet table. She's created this banquet table. She's mingled her wine. She's furnished her table, bread, the meat of her table, and she's calling you to her table. The same table Solomon came into. It's a table like no other table. It's a table to where you go in one way, you come out another way. You go in not knowing what you're doing. Not knowing how to come in or go out. You come out knowing, understanding, equipped, clothed with wisdom far beyond your capacity. Far beyond the world's wisdom. A wisdom that reaches out. A relationship that gives you access to divine intelligence. We're not in church today, my friends. Although we're in church, we're in kingdom training right now. That's what we're looking for, something far greater than us. The gospel of astonishment, for God to astonish us again. It's found in her table. Whoso is simple. There are a few different words that can describe simple. Naive. Whoso maketh many mistakes all the time. Whoso that does not know how to come in and go out with life. Whoso that doesn't know where they're going and don't know how to get there. Whoso that has a calling you don't know how to fulfill. Whoso is in a place you don't like where you're at, but you don't know how to get where you're going. If you would stop and start watching in my door and waiting in my doorpost, she knows what she's giving. That's why she's asking you to wait at her door and watch. She wants you to come up. You got to get past the harlot of Proverbs 7. You got to get past the world system. You got to get past the enemy's schemes. He's really good at the interception of your life. He knows how to intercept you. He's super skilled at it. But she's super skilled at overriding him. But you can't override a system you're drowning in. You have to be above it. She says, whoso simple, turn in hither. Him that wanteth what? Understanding. She saith, come. She saith, come. The protocol of heaven. You have to be invited to this table. You have to be called. You have to stand at attention. You have to want this with everything in you. It's not an easy table to find. If it was, we wouldn't have the simplicity that we have in the body of Christ. How's that, huh? I'm being nice. We wouldn't be so defeated all the time. Because what she promised, she cannot lie. She's come. Eat of my bread, drink of my wine, come and eat of my table, come and sit down at the table of kings, forsake foolishness, forsake simplicity, forsake naivety, forsake stupidity, and live, go. And here's what I'm going to give you. When you come out of my table, when you come off my table, go in the way of understanding. That is a word like no other word. That is the bana. Say bana, B-I-Y-N-A-H, bana. That is the Hebrew word for bana. The bana is the divine intelligence of God. It's what was Daniel was given. The sons of Issachar given the signs at the time. It was what Solomon was given to live in front of his situation, to understand global commerce, to understand how to function over a whole city, how to operate, how to know when two women are standing in front of you, both saying their baby, said, just divide the baby and give them half. He knew instinctively the mother would say no. He was given wisdom. He was given insight into the future. You can't be a successful businessman if you can't see what's coming next. What made him so successful is he knew what was coming next. That's what the bana does. It gets you in front of everything instead of behind. Instead of getting slapped upside the head. Instead of entering into business decisions that look so good and then 3 months later, 6 months later, you lose everything. I don't know anything about that. It's part of my quest for wisdom. I qualify as one of those simplistic ones. Amen. To understand the way wisdom's going to do it, you're going to have to eat from her table. You have to be invited. It's a very high place. Amen. This is the door. She's going to build her house again. I'm going to close with this. Go to Revelation 3. Wisdom is the principal thing. She is master. She's principal. Amen. Wisdom, I'm going to say something to you, is above power. You can have power with God and no wisdom. Wisdom trumps power. Wisdom trumps wealth. You can have wealth and lose it. Talk to people who've had wealth. Wealth has a way of taking wings and flying away very fast. You know what most very wealthy people worry about? Losing what they have. They don't know how to keep it, a lot of them. They don't understand the enemy. Wisdom trumps all things. She's the highest. You can't administrate the true glory without wisdom. It won't last. The enemy will intercept it. There are people who caught the glory of God and built international ministries and lost it because they didn't have the wisdom to sustain it. Amen. Verse 7, the angel, the messenger, John did not write to angels. He wrote to messengers. The messenger of the church of Philadelphia, write. These things saith he that is holy, that is true, that has the key to the house. We know it's the house of David because Isaiah 22 called it the house of David. Key to the house of David. The only other time the key is mentioned. He will open this house and no man's going to shut it. He can shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. I've set before you an open door to the restoration of this house. You've had little strength. You've kept my words and not denied my name. We know this is a last day house. This is, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation coming upon the whole earth. We know that God's going to express this house again before Jesus' return. We know the Solomon anointing is going to show up again. We know the glory that's upon Solomon's mantle is going to show up again. But it's going to be administrated under a new covenant because the Lord said, I tell you, even a greater than Solomon standing before you. But we're going to see the administration and the operation of that over whole cities. The Solomon mantle will come over cities. And wisdom is going to build her perfect house again. The house of perfection. We're going to see evil put down at unprecedented levels as a sign and a witness of what's coming in the thousand-year millennial reign. As a sign to a world that is darkened, your light has come. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone going through wrath, although a whole lot of them are. He's going to express his kingdom in such a way, in every way, before we get lifted out of here. That is going to happen from wisdom's table. And that is the open door that she has opened for us. That the Lord has the key to that house again. But it's being administrated under a new covenant. Far greater promises. I can't even understand with all that he did under the old, what we have and what's possible with us under the new that has not been attained, but it's going to be obtained. And we're going to obtain it by wisdom. We're going to obtain it by the seven spirits of God. We're going to obtain it by the crown. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. I want to pray for a moment. Father, thank you for this house where you have led us, where you have positioned us, what you have shown us, the level of wisdom we've been given hitherto, the access to this great table, the access to the Bana, the access to the crown, that you're going to restore this house again, Father. We thank you that the prayers that are prayed in this house, you will perform them, Father. You have a plan of good and not evil to give unto us to the desired end. And when we go and pray unto you in this hour, we go and pray unto you that you heareth us. And we will find you and be found of you. And all that has been spoken, all that has been prayed, all that is in our heart, we thank you there is a performance of that. We thank you for the crown, the Bana. We thank you that though we have not known how to come in and go out, you're going to give us something that's far greater than any one of us ever realized. It's going to set right down in this place. We give you the glory for it, the honor forever. Bless this house. Bless the intercessors. Bless the families. Bless, set your glory over this house, set your covering, set your fullness of grace. Hold us, keep us, the palm of your hand, as you're about to breathe the life of God into this house. The breath of God, the Ruah, the Bana of heaven will rest in this house. We thank you in advance for what you have shown us, for what we see. We have kept your words. We will not let them go. And all that you have spoken, you will do and perform.